All right. What's our theme for the Mother's Day? Who remembers? Let God do what? Transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Let God. Let who? God. Who does the transformation? God. But who allows? Who lets? You. So which means if you don't let him, it's not going to happen. So our mothers today are speaking to the church saying, please, I plead with you. Let God transform you. You can't change yourself, and nobody can. Human beings, they have different temperaments and dispositions. It's only God that has what it takes to get into the innermost recesses of a human mind to change it. So let God transform you today into a new person by changing the way you think. Yes, you are born again. You have the Spirit of Christ in you. But let God change your heart, the way you think. You have heard it today that out of your heart comes all the issues of life. Whether you're going to make it or you're not going to make it depends on what you're thinking. Whether you're going to enjoy healthy life or you're not going to enjoy depends on what you are thinking. So today, we are all going to let God transform us by changing the way we think. And the way to do it is by choosing to believe the report of the Lord. Amen? Let's open to... I want us to take this song. It says, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new... If you're a man, you say man. If you're a woman, you say woman. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new woman. All things are passed away. I'm born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new woman. Well, that's what the Bible said about us. We are more than a conqueror. In other words, we are not just conquerors, but we are more than a conqueror. Who conquered for us? Jesus. He conquered for us. So we are the ones that that enjoy the spoils of the war. You know, when the people, you know, war and then they bring some goodies. We are the ones that settle and enjoy the spoils of war. Jesus already did it for us, and that's why he said, you are more than a conqueror. We sit and we enjoy the goodies that the Father has already prepared for us in Christ Jesus. Amen? So, if for any reason you are not experiencing this more than a conqueror life, the life of victory that Jesus died to give us, it's probably because you are focusing on the wrong things and you're thinking the wrong thoughts. That must be the reason, because the word of God is forever settled in heaven. What he did, and nothing can be added and nothing can be removed from it. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, which is our text. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We are going to read it from Message. Shall we all go? So, here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Who helping you? God. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Verse 2, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Let's read that line again. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Let's read that last line again. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. How does he do it? Through his word. And then by you cooperating, by choosing to recognize what he wants from you, and by choosing to quickly do what? Respond to it. Amen? The Bible said in Psalm 139, if we read from verse 1, Psalm 139 from verse 1, if it's on the screen, you join me, otherwise I'll be reading. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I am going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. What kind of blessing does he put on your head? It's a hand of blessing, not a curse. You know, some people think that God is a taskmaster carrying something, saying, hey, you did it again. No. The kind of hand that he has over you is a hand of what? Of blessing. Amen? He said in verse 7, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. You see, there's no running away from him. Amen? Verse 13, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Verse 15, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life, let's read together that verse 16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Amen? Is that not marvelous? That every detail about your life is recorded in God's book. He has it in his face. Amen? Every detail about your life, God has a record of them. And even the Bible says that he has numbered the hairs on your head. Can you imagine that in Luke chapter 12, verse 7? I can't think of numbering the hairs on any of my children's hair. That I mean, me sitting, sitting, and they are sitting down there, and I'm trying to number it. It's impossible. But your father already numbered the hairs on your head, and he said, "Can a woman forget her sucking child?" You know, there are some people today, they dump their children here and there. But God said, "Well, it's not possible for a nursing mom that breastfeeds to forget her, nursing child or sucking child." But he, God said, he said, I have written you on the palms of my hands. He said, always in my mind is a picture of you. God has my picture in his breast pocket. He has my picture on his mind. And that's exactly what he does for you. He loves you so dearly. I think of Pastor Kemi, you know, each time I kneel down there to pray, I'm smelling some goodies. The thing goes into my nostrils. Which means that before she comes to church, she's thinking about her children. And I guess maybe within the week, she must have been thinking about it. She will make sure that she brought something so that if they are hungry, they could come and get something to eat. The Bible said that God has your picture. He's on his mind. He thinks about you 24/7. Praise the Lord. He said, let's look at Romans chapter 8. It's important you understand how deeply you're loved, so that when God is telling you, my dear, listen to my instruction, you will understand that it's from a heart of love. He loves you and he knows what is best for you. He understands your beginning, every middle of the way, and the end of your life. And he knows, he has a perfect understanding of what is best for you because he loves you. Let's look at that Romans chapter 8. Sorry. Okay, let's go. Verse 32. Since he did not spare even his own son, that's how much he loves you, but he gave him all for us all. Do we have it? Okay, can we read together? So, only son, but gave him all for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Which means, if God gave us the best that he had, the only son, I have four sons, I can't imagine myself giving one of them out to somebody for any reason. But he said he gave us the only son that he had. Then continue, please. He said, who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. In other words, God approves of us. God has given us right standing with himself. Then the next verse, Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor. I want you to read with me. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Okay, the next verse. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? Next. The next verse. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Amen. The last one. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. So you see the depth of love that the Father has for you. He said in his word, he said to him, in Ephesians chapter 3:20, say now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and to super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think. Oh my goodness. 1 second, please. This thing keeps jumping. He said, oh. Amen. So he said, super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Which means God is able to do beyond whatever you ask or think. But he said, according to the power that is at work in you, to the extent to which you believe the power of God that is there ready to work on your behalf, to the extent to which you agree, to the extent to which you cooperate with that power. All children of God are designed to flourish in life. This is the desire of the Father. For us to do what? To flourish in life. For us to do what? To flourish in life. Please turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you are designed to flourish in life. Turn to the other side and tell that person, you are designed by the Father to flourish in life. Amen. Psalm 92:12-15 says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Where are they supposed to flourish? In the courts of our God. In other words, remaining within the boundaries that God set, with remaining within the confines of the scriptures that God has instructed you. He said, those who are planted, if you are planted, it means you're born again, but then your flourishing happens when you remain in the courts of our God, when you remain within God's word. 14, they shall still bear fruit in old age, which means there's nothing like a time that you're no longer functioning. Amen. The God himself that made you said, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Why? To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Amen? The Bible said in Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just, which means the path of the righteous, those ones who are in right standing with the Father, those ones who have made Jesus the Lord over their lives, the path of the just, the path of the righteous is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the design of the Father for you. That's why he said he knows the plans that he has for you. They are plans for good, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And yet, some people try to run away from him that has a great future for us. Amen? Amen? He's the one that made all things, according to Acts 17:24-28. God is the one who made the world and everything in it. So which means that everything that are in the world, the thing that we are gunning for, the thing that we are rushing for, and we are putting the word of God aside, he's the one that made them, and he's the one that has the ability to give it to you anytime too. But, and the Bible said, he himself, in verse 25 of Acts 17, He himself gives life and bread to everything, and he satisfies every need. We were just coming back from somewhere where somebody passed yesterday, and we're just saying that this life, the closest thing to one is death. But we are kept by the power of God. It is of the Lord's, mercies that we are not consumed. The Bible said, his compassion, they fail not. They are new every morning. It's just God who is keeping us because he has brought us into the group of the beloved. His beloved son, Jesus, by simply believing in Jesus, you become one of the beloved. Amen? So, but he wants us to seek him and to follow him, to live, in him. He wants us to live by his word. He said that, because it's only in him we live and move and have our being. Outside of him, there's no life. It's all frustration. That's why he said, but seek you first the kingdom of God. Seek you first the kingdom of God. And God's way of doing it, the kingdom of God is the kingdom of righteousness, where Jesus Christ is the ruler. Seek first to be in right standing with him. Then after you are in right standing with him, he says, seek his ways of doing things. That's, in other words, live within the confines of the word of God. And he said, all the things you are struggling for, they will meet you and they will overtake you. In fact, I'm a woman that has experienced the goodness and the favors and the mercies of God. I'm telling you, frankly speaking, it's so sweet to know God and to follow him and just to live within his instruction. Every day I say, Father, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I want. It doesn't matter how I feel. All that I want is just what you want. As it is in heaven for concerning me, so let it be. Your will not mine, your ways not mine, your desires not mine, your decisions not mine, your destiny not mine, your determinate will not mine. It's not about me. It's all about Jesus. And so long as I'm focused on him because he's the author and finisher of this life, it is well with me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it is well with you. Amen? Amen? This is what he wants us to do. And that's why he told us in Matthew chapter 16, 26, he said, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life, his blessed life in the kingdom of God? Because it's a blessing in the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Romans 14, 17. Righteousness, his right standing. He's being in right standing with him. In other words, being born again. Then you enjoy his peace. But that his peace is enjoyed as you continue to live within the word of God, as you continue to just follow him. He said, that's the kingdom of God. Joy in the Holy Ghost. So which means there's nothing that will ever topple you. It is not that everything is going right with you, but even in the midst of those terrible circumstances, you are enjoying his peace, you are enjoying his joy, you know in whom you have believed, and you know that this too has come to pass because there's a power that is propelling your life. The greater one lives in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Amen? The Bible said in the scriptures, let's look at those wonderful things. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to 10, and then 12, then 14 to 16. We're going to read it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Bible said in verse 9, that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. That is those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the ones that love him, that has accepted his offer, that has accepted the gift that he gave to man. Verse 10, but it was to us that God revealed these things by his spirit. For his spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. God has revealed it to those that have believed in his son Jesus. And verse 12 says, and we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given to us. We have received his spirit, not the spirit of the world. If you are born again, you have received the spirit of Christ, and it is by his spirit that you begin to know those things that God has freely given to you, so that your life will be joyous, your life will be fulfilled. And the verse 14 says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths. In other words, they can't understand, they can't perceive, what God has given to us. It's only by the Spirit you understand them, you perceive them, because God is a spirit, and they that worship him worships him in spirit and in truth. And he created us spirit beings. He made us spirit beings. He gave us his spirit, his own kind of spirit. The moment you have joined with Christ, you have the same spirit with him, and you are able to know the things that have been freely given to you. And verse 15 said, those who are spiritual can evaluate all things. Think of that. They can evaluate all things, which means as you live your daily life, you have a better perception of life, a better perception of how to relate with human beings, a better perception of how to get the best from anybody, because the spirit of Christ is living in you, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of sound mind. You are able to excel. It's the spirit of favor. Amen? So he said, those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things. We have the mind of Christ. The Bible said you have the mind of Christ, which means if you have Jesus, you have his mind, his way of seeing things, doing things. You have his character, his conduct, his ability, his wisdom, his anointing, his glory, everything that he has, you have. That's why the Bible said that as he is, so are we in this world. It's talking about your spirit that is exactly as that of Christ, not your outer part. He's talking about your spirit that is born again. Amen? And that's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and then 7 to 8, he said, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. We don't go by the way we feel, by the things we see. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by how I feel. And yet somebody will wake up in the morning and say, I don't feel like going to church today. Are you supposed to go by the way you feel? No. How are you supposed to go? The Bible said, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. If the world said it, you just simply respond. That is a life of the spirit. You call for evangelism, I just don't feel like going. Do you have to come by feeling like going? No. The Bible said, go ye therefore. If my Father said it, I'm a person of the spirit. What do? I just simply respond in line with the word of God. I don't go by the way I feel, by the way I think, by the way they say. I am only moved by what the word said. If God ever said it, that settles it for me. And that should settle it for every one of us. Amen? So that's what he's telling us here. He said, Paul now said, in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. In other words, his pursuit is just to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so long as you keep on growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to what the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, the Bible said, grace, which is undeserving, unmerited favor, and peace will be multiplied. You get the grace for salvation, you're born again. But you grow in this grace, in this favor, undeserving, unmerited favor. As you keep on fellowshipping with the word of God, you begin to discover the secret things that God has planned for you as a child of God. They are things that you have to dig deep for yourself. You have to cite the scriptures to get them. And every day here, God has given us pastors, teachers. And what are they doing? They are helping to equip us to understand who we are in Christ, everything about the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we shall grow to be like him, that when we see the sick, we lay hands on the sick, they recover. Because that's what the Bible said already about us. When the devil shows up, he says, hey, you, out. And he can't help but respond, because that's what he planted us here to do. The Bible said that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said he was revealed to destroy the works of darkness. That's what we should be doing. So if works of darkness manifest in your home, you are supposed to stand your ground and say, hey, out in Jesus' name. And they can't help but respond. Amen? That's when you begin to enjoy this more than a conqueror life. Praise the Lord. The Bible said Paul said in verse 8, he said, yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. That should be our goal, to gain Christ. What does it mean to gain Christ? You already have him in you, but you want him, the manifest presence of his glory that is already in your spirit, to begin to control your soul, your mind, will, and emotion, so that it will reflect on the outside. So your life begins to show the life of the Spirit. Your life begins to show what is in your spirit. It can only manifest when your soul agrees and when your soul allows the Spirit to educate it. That, in other words, when you choose to cooperate with what the Word said, then it begins to be your experience. Amen? And that's why the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, we know we are already chosen by God. The moment you give your life to Jesus, you join the band of the chosen. And then he said that he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has, took us from the kingdom of darkness and catapulted us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. This is where we are operating. And then he said, we should remember in verse 11, he said, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents. Who are we? We are temporary residents. If you don't know it today. The Bible is telling you that you are temporary residing here on earth. You are not of this world. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. Say, I beg you, as temporary residents and foreigners, you are a foreigner here on earth. He said, to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. It is important that we Christians begin to understand that there's a war going on against our soul. Even though we are born again, the devil is still fighting to make us to misrepresent Christ so that we become a bad testimony, so that we hinder the others from coming into the fold. And also it dulls our faith that you don't have the boldness to receive what the Father has already provided for you. There's a constant war between the flesh and the spirit. The spirit wants you to respond to God so that you will enjoy those things that God has freely given to you. But the flesh wants to point you to the things that it is seeing, for you to go by your natural senses so that he will stop you from enjoying the things that God has already provided for you. And this war will continue to go on until you're called home. So if you understand that there's a war, Jesus already won the battle and gave us the victory. But then we are to tend and to keep, like he prepared everything for Adam and he said, stay in this garden, tend and keep it. You are now to tend and to keep your life. And you tend and keep your life by listening to God's instruction and living by God's instruction. So 1 Peter said, 1 Peter 5, 6 to 7, he said verse 6, he said, therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation. In your own understanding of it, don't think you have arrived. I know it or I have it all together. The Bible said, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. In other words, submit to what God said to you. Submit to whatever teachings that are biblical, that are in line with the truth about the finished work on the cross of Calvary. Submit to it. Let it be what guides and garrisons your life and orders your footsteps in your going out, in your coming in your eating, in your sleeping, in your interactions, in your verbalizing whatever it is. Submit to what the Word said. Lower yourself. Don't try to impress. Don't be other directed person. Don't try to live to impress anybody. Only live to impress God by simply choosing to yield to what the Word said. Submit to God. And he will exalt you. Exaltation comes from him. The Bible said that promotion does not come from any other source. It is God. He's one that lifts up one. Even when they are harassing you and they are stressing you, say, even when your boss is harsh, the Bible said, just submit to God. Because God is a faithful rewarder. He's the one at the end that is going to lift you up. Amen? And when you're doing that, he said, if there are issues, he said in verse 7, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you how? Affectionately, and cares about you how? Watchfully. But your job is submit to what he said. Live within the boundaries of the word of God. And when the devil shows up, the Bible said, be sober, be vigilant. How many Christians today are living a casual life? Just living your life anyhow, not knowing that there's a war against your soul, by the things that you're watching, the things that you're hearing, the magazines that you're reading, anything just go on. Like they were telling us here, the information that you're storing here, it is garbage in, garbage out. When you put in the word of God, it is the word of God that is going to show out. When you put in what is good that is going to come out. You don't have to have a toxic brain like they were telling us. You have to plant some good stuff. And the Bible said that your enemy, he's doing what? Like a lion, he's doing what? He's roaming about. He is roaming 24/7. Whether you know it or not, he's a spirit being, and we are a spirit being too. He said, he's roaming about seeking whom he may devour, which means it's not everybody that he can devour. It is only those who are not being sober, who are not yielding to the word of God. He can confuse them with wrong information, and they just believe the lie of the enemy. And the Bible said that we have to put on the whole armor of God so that we may be able to stand against the wiles, the deceit of the enemy. And it is only by the word of God that we are able to do this. And that's why he said, know that is roaming about seeking whom he may devour. He said, whom resist? How are you supposed to resist him? Steadfast how? In the faith. What is the foundation of your faith? The word of God. In other words, steadfast on whatever the word said. Stand on what the word said, and you will surely experience victory. So God wants us to submit to his word, and that is the only way we can experience victory. Jesus showed us an example when he lived here on earth as God-man. He lived here on earth, but the Spirit of God was upon him. The Bible said, when God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, when the Spirit came upon him. And the Spirit of God is upon us and is in us. Is in us if you are born again, because Romans 8:9 said, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ and you don't belong to him, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, it comes upon you to do exploits. So Jesus in John chapter 5 verse 30 told us the way to live. He said, I am able to do nothing from myself independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God and as I get his orders, which means as we are being taught, a lot of teachings has been going on. If you know the wealth of revelation God has been pouring into our lives in recent times, and these things are, you know, accessible to every one of us. Jesus said, I am able to do nothing from myself independently of my own accord, but only as I am taught by God and as I get his orders. Even as I hear, I judge, I decide as I am bidden to decide. As the voice comes to me, so I give a decision. And my judgment is right, just, righteous, because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own end, my own purpose, but only the will and pleasure of the Father who sent me. This is what is expected of us, because we are his disciples, his followers. To do only the will and pleasure of the Father. Let's say it together. To do only the will and pleasure of the Father. Again, to do only the will and pleasure of the Father. And that was why when the devil showed up, he said, it is written. It is written. He never said anything else. You can't defeat the devil by your own strength, by your own words. It has to be what is written. Whether sickness, whether poverty, whether children, whether health, it is written. You stand on what is written, and the word of God is forever settled in heaven. God said he will never violate his word. His word will never return to him void. And victory will surely be yours in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. The Bible said the devil left him for a more opportune time. That's why you must know that he's still roaming about seeking whom he may devour. And he's going to continue like that until we are called home. So that is why it is important that we make sure that we fellowship with the word of God, that we allow the word of God to guide us in whatever we are doing. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it said there, because God wants us to live a life of total dependence on him. He said, then Jesus said to his disciples, okay, I'm going to read it in a message. Then Jesus went to walk on his disciples. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. Let's say it. Anyone who Who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You are not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I will show you how. He says, self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. Amen? It is when you find your true self and you begin to live by your true self, that's when you begin to enjoy the victory that Jesus Christ died to give us. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 18 to 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18 to 24. Verse 18, the Bible said they say, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. No matter what the circumstances may be, which means no matter the circumstance of life, God already knows that the end of it is victory for every one of his children. And that's why he said to you, just thank me. Don't bother. Just thank me. It is well with your soul. Just thank me. I know what I'm doing. Amen? He said, for this is the will of God, and we want to do the will of the Father. For this is the will of God in for you who are in Christ Jesus. Unless you are not in Christ Jesus, if you are in Christ Jesus, just thank God in every one of such situations, because Jesus is the revealer and the mediator of that will. Verse 19 said, do not quench, suppress, or subdue the Holy Spirit, which means as the Spirit prompts you, and the Spirit will never prompt you to what is contrary to the word of God. When the Spirit prompts you, don't quench him. Respond in obedience. Respond. Yield to it. And then verse 20 said, do not spurn the gifts and utterances of the prophets. Do not depreciate prophetic revelations, nor despise inspired instructions or exhortations or warnings. Every day here, as we gather, we are being exhorted, we are being instructed, we are being encouraged, we are being warned. The Bible said here, do not spurn the gifts and those utterances. Don't take them, don't disdain them, don't look down on them. Listen to them because they are God-inspired. Amen? That is what will keep you. And he said in verse 21, even when you're outside, you're walking, you have other informations coming to you. He said, but test and prove all things until you can recognize what is good. To that, hold fast. At your job, they are telling you something. Any other place, they are showing some other information. They are beclouding your mind with other things. The Bible said, you don't just sink them in. You should test them. And those ones that are good, you can hold on to them. But if they are not good, discard them. The only information that he says for you to respond quickly to is the one that is coming from him as you fellowship with the word of God. And then verse 22 said, abstain from evil, shrink from it, and keep aloof from it in whatever form or whatever kind it may be. In whatever form or whatever kind. And today we are being bombarded with all manner of things over the television, over the news. Those things, are they faith builders or are they faith destroyers? You don't have to wait until calamity hits you, then you begin to seek God. Then that's when you find time to come for every fellowship. That's when you find time to pray. That's when you find time to begin to study the word. The Bible said here, abstain from evil. There are things that are not for the eye of a child of God. They are not for you. Amen? So when those things show up, the Bible said, abstain from all those things. Shrink from them. Don't have anything to do with them, because they are not faith, builders. They are faith killers. They're not going to provide food on your table. Neither are they going to heal you when, issues come on your health. So you have to be mindful of what goes in here. The Bible said, out of the heart comes all the issues of life. So guard your heart. How many people are guarding your heart? Back home in Nigeria, remember before we left, you have to lock the door with this, lock with this one, lock with this one, because we don't want any intruder to come in. But people are casual about their heart, what goes in here. You don't have to allow anything. Amen? The Bible said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them out of them all. He will deliver you. He will certainly. Because he that promised is faithful, who also will do it. But your job is to stick with the word of God. He said in John 16:33, he said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. He said, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. For I, Jesus, I have overcome the world for you. I have deprived it of the power to harm you. I have conquered it for you. But your job is stick with my word. Amen. Amen. Stick with my word. The word of God is here and amen and is forever settled in heaven. He said, he word that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, who no foe can destroy. But you have to abide under the shadow, his word, within the confines of his word. Amen? Amen. In verse 23 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he said that your whole, you know, spirit, soul, and body should be preserved blameless until the coming of Jesus Christ. This is the desire of the Father. Your spirit, soul, and body should be preserved blameless. And he's the one that will help you to do that. I want to see what is on the, can I have the PRO, can I have the picture that I have there, please? Can I have it? Can we have it displayed? We must know that God, what God sent to help us, the Bible said he sent his word to heal us and to deliver us from all the destructions of the enemy. See, we as first spirit, God created us first spirit, we have a soul and we live in a body. That's what the Bible told us. And this is what God wants these three to be preserved. And that's what Paul said, I plead with you, I beg you to present these things, your body, a living, a holy sacrifice, you know, sacrifice to God. But you cannot do that in your own strength, not in your strength, because it's God who is all the while at work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. But you have to yield to his word, because his word is what he works with. Let me have the second picture, please. Let me have the second one, the next one, please. It's in your soul, you have mind, will, and emotion, and in your soul, you have all manner of things. They're all the bodies, all the bodies. That's why you have them, anxiety, depression, and all that. And they were teaching us today that, you know, we have the mind of Christ, but we have to allow that mind of Christ to work in us, because our mind is full of all manner of junk. And God gave us his spirit, and in his spirit we have love, joy, peace, and the spirit is there to help us to change what is in the soul. So when your soul agrees with the spirit, then it reflects in your body and you're better off for it. Your life becomes much, much better for it. Amen? Amen. So it is important that we yield to the spirit, because we don't have what it takes when the chips are down. You find out that the flesh will topple you, because the flesh is the one that has contact with the world, that sees all the things that they are seeing. And those five senses will always show up. But every child of God has the sixth sense. And that sixth sense is the Holy Spirit. And that is where what God wants us to live on. To live by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that's why he said we should guard our hearts. He sent his word to heal us and to deliver us from all the destructions of the enemy. And that's why Paul said, I hand you over to God and to the word of his grace, that is able to do what? To save your soul, to save you from that depression, to save you from that tendency for fornication, for adultery, for whatever, that is nyama-nyama that is there. It is the word of God that is able to puncture that, and the spirit of God will never lead you contrary to what the word says, so that you're able to live in victory all the time. But if you say no to what the spirit is sending you, and the soul yields to the body, the five senses, that is the carnal part of you, then you find yourself being defeated all the time. And the only way to energize the spirit is by constantly being in fellowship with the word of God, meditating on the word of God, and that way your soul will agree with the spirit, and the flesh, your body, cannot help but reflect what is in the spirit. Amen? Amen. So it is important that we yield to the word of God. That's why Jesus said to Martha, one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that one important thing, and nobody can take it from him. I remember when my husband, when we came here and we were planting the church, you know, at Newark. I remember how some people will come and they laugh because it's just six of us. And I remember somebody say, maybe this man is crazy. He just did his hand like this, you know, it's crazy. And he finally verbalized, say, I was thinking he was crazy, when finally he saw the church growing. But, you know, there was a scripture that God gave us in, Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. He promised us that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he will help us, he will uphold us. And we had that scripture here. And my husband, you know, he can be stubborn when it comes to what the word said. You can't convince him otherwise. And I love him for that. Because, you know, that was what helped me to be able to defeat, you know, drinking Tylenol every day of my life. I don't know how many bottles of, you know, Tylenol that I consumed. But because he was standing, because he believed that the word said, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Finally, I queued in. And I thank God all my children have queued into it. You know, when something is happening to them and you're telling them this, they say, oh, no, mommy, the Bible said this. I said, okay, fine. That's settled. And finally, the victory is seen on them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, it is the word of God that gives us our victory. So, they said all manner of things, but he stood on the word of God. And he will come to an empty church and say, you dare say praise the Lord. And just the four of us will say hallelujah. He said, you dare shout hallelujah. And just the five or so, we say hallelujah. We're just responding. He said first there is seed, and then there is, I think, a blade, and then there is, I forgot how he was saying it. And finally, here is the church. Praise the Lord. I remember my son, Kenneth, I remember when he was taking college exam, that's to go into secondary school. And then the first, you know, he didn't get admission to the federal school. And when they gave him admission to one of the best, you know, local secondary school, I was happy for it. And when he came back and I gave it to him, I said, congratulations, at least you go for this one. He just took it and dropped on the floor, just by the entrance of our room, dropped it and put his head, said, this is not for me. This is not what I asked my father. Because this boy was always chewing the Bible when he was much younger. And that really helped to improve his English a lot. Before he now began to get into, you know, secondary school, where they began to give him so many literature books. So when he gained admission to university again, and he had a very high score, and finally they deleted his name, he had the choice, his choice university. And when he now went to pay, it happened that they had already taken his name out. When the uni Ibadan wouldn't give him, you know, economics that he wanted, he said he would rather go home. And finally, I remember one day he was telling us that God was going to take him abroad. And we were wondering how it was going to happen. We didn't plan to come to U.S., but finally it happened. Amen? When he went to do the entrance to university, to secondary school, I remember, I took him there to do the exam. I remember, you know, when I came to bring some snacks for him when they had a break, and then he said, Mom, this my friend was telling me that we are just here just to fulfill all righteousness, that it is only those who have Abraham that will get it. He said, but I told him, and he's only those that have rich parents and you know, that God have godfathers that are going to get it. He said, but I told him that, well, my father is the one who, you know, planted these people that are coordinating and organizing the exam, that said the questions. In fact, he's the one that owns all these federal schools. And I know he already has a place for me. So can you imagine him making that statement? And then me now telling him. He said, and even he has his bodyguards here with me at that tender age. Can you imagine now finally he didn't get that federal admission. And then this one came, and I was telling him, at least go with this one. He said, this is not what I asked my father. I should have been the one that should have known better. But he acted in faith. Because he was full of the word of God. That's how God wants us to respond, by our sixth sense, not by what we are seeing or by what we are hearing. Amen? We must know that we are more than a conqueror. We are overcomers. When the enemy showed up in my house and, you know, put sickness on my son, Kene, and the Onyinye, at the same night, we were just newly born again. I remember my husband said, bring them to the living room. Bring them here. And then we brought the two of them. He said, now, at least I didn't know before. Now, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I command you right now, take your hands off my children in Jesus' name. Amen. It was about 2 in the morning. We couldn't go to the hospital because at the time, different gates were locked. At the time, armed robbers were operating a lot. So we waited until when it was day. Then we took them to the hospital. And then when the doctors examined, they said, nothing is wrong with these children. Please take them home. If he didn't know any better and stood on the word of God, would have been defeated. You'll be waiting, okay, let's go to church so the man of God will remember our children and will call them and mention them. No. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. All the power that you need to enjoy victory is already embedded in your spirit. that you have to draw them as you fellowship with the Word of God. You fellowship with the Word of God. The Word of God becomes more real to you than what you're seeing, than what you're hearing, than what they are saying. And that one will begin to operate because the scripture cannot be broken. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God will never return unto him void. Amen?
Amen.
I want us to watch this short movie so that that will help to help us to understand. The Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. The weapons of God are not carnal. It is by the Word of God. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is the sword of the spirit that will cut asunder whatever it is that the enemy is doing in your life. But you have to know it. If you don't know it, then you begin to look for pastor. And that's when they confuse you. You must be grounded in the Word of God. You must choose to allow the Word of God to determine what you do, how you respond. Can I have the movie now? I'm waiting. You must choose to allow the Word of God to decide for you. The Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. How do you cast them down? By saying, hey, it is written. When those negative thoughts show up, you say, it is written. If you do not know what is written, then you're going to be defeated. So you don't get it is written by just relax and then you are watching everything that comes, you're reading everything that comes. You have to be mindful of the faith builders. They are the things you allow into your heart. Are you ready, please? Are you ready? Can we have that quickly, please? So I want you to listen to this so that that will help us to understand how our spirit operates. This is something that I watched from Andrew Womack. That will really help us. Can we have volume to it, please? I want you to listen. Can we have volume to it? We're not hearing anything. Jeremiah said, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a river bank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. That's the desire of the Father for you. If you're planted in the courts of our God, the Bible said your tree will not be bothered by the heat or worried by the long months of drought. The drought might come, the heat might come, but you're not going to be bothered about it because you know in whom you have believed. Say, their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Can we have the volume, please? So we must have to choose to cooperate with God. The Bible said about the children of Israel, God told Abram that his descendants will go into captivity. And he told him that after 400 years, that they're going to come back. And he said that they are going to serve as slaves. And they're going to be oppressed where they are going to. But he promised him that they will surely return after 400 years. And finally it happened. And God told him that he's going to send them to a land that is, filled with honey, that is fruitful. And when the children of Israel desired to have that place spied out, God didn't tell them to spy it out, but because they desired to, God allowed it, and they did that. And finally, when Joshua and Caleb said, let's go, we can take the place, the other eight that went with them said, we are not able. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. And they said, even in the sight of those people that we went to see, they are giants, we are like grasshoppers. And they said, we cannot go. They even planned to displace Moses and Aaron by choosing to send somebody else. They said, God brought us here to destroy us. But God told them, as you have spoken into my ears, that's what I'm going to do to you. Why was that so? Because they allowed what they saw. Even though God said, I have given you, If the Bible ever said it, know that it's a done deal. Whatever God has promised you in the world, it shall surely come to pass. His word will never return unto him void. So you just simply agree with God, regardless of what the pains, you know, the flesh will agitate. That is the suffering. When your flesh is agitating, wanting to do it the way it's seeing, the way it's hearing, the way it's feeling, that's a suffering to the flesh. But you say, hi, flesh, shut up. The word said, I am choosing to stand by the word of God, and the word of God will surely produce. Let's have it now.
Well, this is Andrew Womack, and I'm going to be talking about spirit, soul, and body, which may not sound the most exciting thing to you on the surface, but to me, this is one of the most exciting things that the Lord has ever shown me. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that is so obvious. We are made up of a spirit, soul, and body. And the body is very obvious. If you go look in a mirror, that's the part that you see. Now you would be speaking to my soul, which is my mental, emotional part. Some people define soul as your mind, will, and emotions, and I think that that certainly is true. I don't think that it's all-inclusive. There's more to it. I believe that your conscience is a part of your soul. Your soul certainly includes your mental, emotional part. I believe it's what most people call their personality. If I was to touch your physical body, you can feel that. But I can also touch you by words, and it can touch your emotions. It can either make you glad or sad. It can make you angry. You can say words and hurt a person. So the body and the soul are two areas that every one of us are in touch with constantly, but the spirit part of us is a totally different matter. Jesus said this in John chapter 3 when he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And there is no direct connection between the two. You cannot in a physical, natural way feel your spirit. The spirit cannot be accessed in any natural way, and herein lies one of the great problems in the Christian life. The spirit is the part of us that God communicates with, and the spirit is the part of us that all of the life and the power of God flows through. In James chapter 2, verse 26, the scripture there says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And that just makes it very clear that the life-giving part of you is the spirit. One of the greatest keys to walking with the Lord for me has been to understand this reality of spirit, soul, and body, that the spirit realm cannot be seen or felt. The only way to discern what is spiritual truth is through the Bible. To just take it and believe it. Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 63. He says, the flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's revealing to us spiritual reality. And if you want to know what your spirit is like, then you have to go to God's word to find it out. You can't just go by an emotion, by some type of perception. You have to go to God's word. Here's another passage of scripture in James chapter 1, and in verse 23 it says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. This is talking about a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, talking about God's word, specifically the revelation of the gospel, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. This passage of scripture is likening the Bible unto a mirror that you look in to see your spiritual face, to see what you are in the spirit. You, with your eyes, have never looked directly into your face. You've always looked at a reflection or a representation, but you've gotten to where you trust that. Well, the Word of God is a perfect reflection of what spiritual truth is. You can't sit there and say, well, I think that, you know, all my mascara is on and that my face is fixed, my hair is combed, and I'm ready to go. You can't go by how you feel. You have to go look in that mirror and then you trust what you see. Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God gives you a perfect picture of who you are in your spirit. And it's the only way. There is a total transformation that has taken place on the inside of every person who becomes born again. Now, you can see this in many places, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the scripture there says, if any person is in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the next verse says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto God by himself. The Lord has totally changed you. It says, old things have, past tense, passed away, all things, present tense, reality, right now, have become new. And all things are of God. Now, if you don't understand this concept of spirit, soul, and body, you are instantly setting yourself up for confusion and frustration and ultimately unbelief. Because you can tell by process of elimination that this is not talking about your physical body. If you were fat before you got saved, you'll still be fat after you get saved. Your body didn't instantly pass away and all things become new. And your soul is also not the part of you that got saved. Because if you were stupid before you got saved, you'll still be stupid after you get saved. If you were depressed, if you didn't know math before you got saved, you will still be depressed. And you just don't instantly know math after you get saved. The soul is not changed. So by process of elimination, you can say it's not your body and it's not your soul. And so that leaves your spirit. Your spirit is a part of you that got totally changed at salvation. When a person makes Jesus Christ their Lord, there is instantaneous change that takes place. And yet, that scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it isn't in process, but it's already done. It's an accomplished fact, a done deal. And if you don't understand that that change takes place in the spirit and has to work its way out into the soul and the body, then you are going to instantly come into unbelief and begin to say, but it didn't change. I'm still the same. And it may cause some people to seriously doubt whether they were ever saved. But your spirit is right now as perfect, as mature, as complete as Jesus is. But when you get born again, your spirit gets elevated. It gets recreated. To where it's literally, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, that God sends forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. It's literally, when you get born again, your spirit passes away. The old spirit is taken out. It dies, is what the scripture says in Romans chapter 6. And God places within you the Spirit of His Son. That's what it says again in Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, you aren't truly born again unless you receive God putting the Spirit of His Son in your heart. The Spirit of Jesus has come to live inside of every born again person. And your spirit and the Spirit of Jesus have intermarried. They've merged. They've become one so that you are now a totally brand new person, and the identity and the holiness, the makeup of your spirit is identical to Jesus. John 4, 24, Jesus said this. He said, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. So how can holy God fellowship with unholy man? Even at our very best, we still fall short of God's standards. Well, the way it happens is that when you put faith in Jesus, you become born again, and in your spirit, you become a brand new creature that is righteous and holy. You are as pure and holy in your spirit as Jesus is because it's His righteousness that has been given unto you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says that Jesus is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus has become our righteousness. And then as you get your soul in agreement with what has already transpired in your spirit, then you see the physical benefit. Your spirit has to flow through your soul to get into your body, into the physical world. The soul has a valve on it. And basically that is the function of your mind, your mental, emotional part, the soulish part of you. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead already indwells every born-again believer. But if your mind is like a valve, and if it's closed to that, if it doesn't embrace that truth and renew its mind and get to where what you see in the Word of God, in the spiritual mirror, if that doesn't become more real to you than what you see in your physical mirror, then it's possible for this resurrection life that's in your spirit to be completely shut off, just like you would shut the valve on a faucet. And you say, but I feel sick. My body hurts. The doctor says I'm dying. Here's my medical record. And if those things dominate you, that soul can shut off that power so that not one drop of God's life-giving power ever touches your physical body, and you can die sick having the resurrection life of God on the inside of you. And of course, you can apply that to every area of your life. You can have depression in you. You can have anger and bitterness when the whole time in your spirit there is love, joy, and peace, as it says in Galatians 5:22. So the critical part of you is actually the soul. And the rest of the Christian life is renewing of the mind. And as we do that, then the physical body will experience the benefit. The rest of the Christian life is a renewing of the mind. And as we do that, then the physical body will experience the benefit. Here's another scripture that says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. In verse 2, it says, don't be conformed to this world. The word conform there means to be poured into the mold of. In other words, there's pressure from the world, from the devil, from unbelievers, from circumstances. You can't go through life without being pressured. You come into this life innocent and pure, but you don't exit that way just automatically. You're going to be melted, but you get to pick what mold you fit into. That word transform in the Greek is the word metamorpho. And it's the word we get metamorphosis from, the process where a little worm spins a cocoon and then comes out a butterfly. If you want that kind of transformation, change, metamorphosis, so that you begin to start in your physical and emotional realm changing from the bitter, hurtful person, from the sick person, from the defeated person into the victorious person that God wants you to be. If you want that kind of change, the way it happens, Romans 12, 2 says, is by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew that mind? It's through the Word of God. God's Word tells you what is spiritually true. It gives you new values, new attitudes, and you have to conform yourself to what God's Word has to say about you. The knowledge of God's Word is critical. You've got to have it. But you've got to have the understanding of that knowledge, the application of it. In other words, knowledge is like taking food and putting it in your mouth. It's the first step. But you know what? You actually have to swallow that food, and your body has to start digesting it before all of the nutrients and the benefit in that food begins to release into your body. The knowledge of God is important, but it's only important if you can understand it, if you can begin to release the life that's in it. In Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 17, he says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now, the word Gentile here is talking about a non-Jew. The way we would express this today is say, don't walk like a lost man, a person that doesn't have a relationship with God. If you don't begin to start thinking spiritually minded instead of carnal minded, then you will shut off the flow of the life of God through you. A scripture that goes along with this is Romans 8:6. And that verse says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnal mindedness doesn't mean necessarily sinful mindedness. Now, all sin is carnal, but not all carnality is sin. The word carnal literally means of the five senses. In other words, don't let your mind be dominated only by what it can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. You can perceive reality beyond that. Your soul can, through faith, you can believe the Word of God, and you can believe things that you can't see. In other words, you could do it like a mathematical formula. Spiritual mindedness equals life and peace. Carnal mindedness equals death. This isn't talking about only physical death, but depression is death. Death is anything that's a result of sin, whether it's the ultimate physical death of your body or if it's talking about the slow death of emotional sadness, loneliness, bitterness, anger, all of those things. So it says that if you walk like a Gentile, then you aren't using your mind for spiritual things. You're just dominated by the natural. That produces a darkening of the understanding. And then it says, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. If you are dominated by physical, natural things instead of by spiritual truth, it alienates you from the life of God. And this is what's happened with most of us. We have not thought the way God thought. Here's a scripture in Philemon. Paul wrote this to a friend of his, Philemon, and he prayed a prayer for him. And in verse 6, Philemon chapter 1, verse 6, he prayed that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, this is a radical statement. He says the communication, the release or transfer of your faith may become effectual. The word effectual means it just begins to work, begins to be productive. And how does that happen? He said by the acknowledging of every good thing which is.
Shall we all rise, please?
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.